Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, everybody. Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast. Now, this week, another immunology topic. Now, I am an immunologist, and I hope people enjoy the immunology. I don't always do it every week, but obviously, it's my expertise. I look out for great stories about the immune system to tell you all. In fact, it should be called Show Me the Immune System this week, I suppose. But at any event, this is another great study just published. And again, any regular listeners will know I'm always looking out for the latest breakthroughs. And this one's a fascinating, and it's very relevant to many people, I'm sure, who are listening. It's all about smoking and the immune system. Now, of course, we all know smoking is bad for us. We've been hearing that now for decades. The main problem with smoking is cancer. You're inhaling a whole bunch of toxic chemicals into your lungs. Those chemicals hit off your cells in the lungs. They cause mutations in the DNA. And if you're unlucky, some of those mutations turn those cells into malignant cells, which means they never stop growing and they form a massive tumor. Those cancer cells will spread around the body, I think called metastases, and might end up in your brain, which can be lethal, of course, or in your pancreas or wherever. And it's a very serious thing. And we've known this now for decades. Smoking causes lung cancer and other types of cancer. We've also known for a long time that if you smoke, you're at risk of many different diseases. Heart disease is a big one, obviously enough, but even things like rheumatoid arthritis, which I'll come back to it in a moment about this discovery. So we've known smoking's bad for you. And now this finding has shown that smoking damages your immune system. And again, that might seem somewhat obvious, I suppose, because these chemicals are in your body. They will hit off the immune system as much as any other part of your body and cause damage. But now this study really digs deep into this and has found the damaging effects of smoking on the immune system. And it's led by an Irish scientist. Great to give a shout out to our Irish scientific colleagues, a guy called Dara Duffy. He works in the Pasteur Institute in Paris. Now, the Pasteur Institute is one of the world's leading medical research institutes, named after Louis Pasteur, very famous scientist. I guess you've all heard of Pasteur. He was extremely important for the discovery of bacteria and how bacteria cause diseases. And he was the one who invented lots of vaccines, actually, for rabies, for instance, was one of his big breakthroughs. So Pasteur is very famous, and they named the institute that he was working in after him. And Dara works in the Pasteur. I've been there a few times. Great immunology in the Pasteur. They've continued the legacy of Pasteur, I guess, by working on immunology and infection. It's a big strength there. And Dara has made this discovery in the Pasteur. Now, what did he do? Well, he began again with a scientific question that we always begin with. And he wondered, why does the immune system differ between people? And we've known this as well for a long time. There's huge variation in people's immune systems. Now, of course, we saw this during COVID. And the number of people who said to me, oh, I was in a house and my husband got COVID and I never caught it. Or I was in a bar somewhere and 10 people got COVID, I didn't. And why was that? Or even they ask you, why did I get it and my partner didn't, you know? And there's all kinds of reasons. It's a very complicated thing. A big reason, though, is all our immune systems are slightly different. Now, that's like any biological trait, remember. Variation is built into the human population. If we were all clones, we'd all have the exact same immune system, and that wouldn't be great, because we'd all get wiped out then by a virus, wouldn't we? So evolution has built in variation such that some of our species will survive by having a stronger immune response in a particular set of circumstances. And like eye colour or hair colour or your height is highly variable in the population, so too is your immune system. And what Dara wanted to find out was, what are the key differentiators between people that might explain why their immune systems are different? Now, this was a bit of a tour de force, because Dara looked at 136 differences, or variables as we call them. And age was one. Now, of course, we know as you get older, your immune system gets weaker. And that's one reason why there's variation. So if you compare like a 70-year-old to a 20-year-old, the 70-year-old will have a weaker immune system on average, because like every other part of your body, it ages, you know, just like our muscles age. That's one reason, and of course Dara's study could confirm that. A second thing he found was, if some people are carrying certain latent viruses. Now, the herpes virus, as many of you might know, it can infect you and cause a skin lesion on your lips, and then it goes latent. It burrows into your nerves, actually, and hides there. And it'll re-erupt occasionally. And if you carry a latent virus, that can affect your immune system. It's almost as if the immune system knows it's there and it's on a slightly different activation state, shall we say, a different sort of response mode if there's a latent virus in your body. And that was a second one that he saw, was one explanation. By the way, how he did this was, he took over 1,000 people, he took blood from them into a test tube, and he stimulated the blood in a test tube with a virus, or the flu virus actually he used, or a bacteria he used, E. coli, and he measured the immune response in the test tube. And he measured many aspects of the immune response. We call this in vitro, because it's in a test tube. He took people between the ages of 20 and 69, and through that huge analysis came to these conclusions. So for example, if there were people in that group with a latent herpes infection, he was able to show their immune system was slightly different than the ones who didn't have the latent virus, because he measured that as one of the variables. And then the age, again, he'd older people and he could show differences in their immune system too. But, and I'm coming to the key finding now, if you're still listening, smoking turned out to be a big explainer for why people had a different immune response. And that really was the headline from the paper. So what he was able to do was, people who were smoking, that was very nice, was the heavier smokers versus light smokers, so you could look at that as well. The more you smoke, the more damaged your immune system is. And you could measure this in the test tube using these in vitro approaches. And of course, that was a very interesting discovery. And then what he also showed was that two types of the immune response, there's two main armies, if you will, because we think of the immune system as an army to defend us against infection. There are two main divisions, if that's the word, in the army. There's the innate immune response and the adaptive immune response. Now, my lab works on innate immunity. That's the specific part of the immune system I work on. And what innate means is it's built in. All these defenses you have that are there already, and they're ready to fight and mobilize the troops. The adaptive immune response actually adapts during the infection process and learns. And it's a very interesting feature of the immune response, because once you're infected, the immune system learns. And then when you get re-challenged, it's learned from the first attack, and then it fights even better the next time. And of course, vaccines are very good at bringing out the adaptive immune response. And that's why you take a vaccine, it trains the troops to see the bad guy. When the real bad guy arrives, the troops have been trained and they eliminate it very quickly. You don't get sick. And those two arms, the innate and the adaptive, huge amount of knowledge about them both, of course. In my own lab, I spent 30 years working on the innate immune system, for instance, and we've made various discoveries. What Dara found was, if people stop smoking, and he could show this in this study as well, the innate recovers. So it hasn't been permanently damaged. And if you stop smoking, the basic defenses come back up, if you will. But what was worrying was, for smokers, the adaptive doesn't really recover. And even years after people had stopped smoking, the adaptive was still damaged. And that's what Dara observed. Now, we'll come back to what that might mean in a minute, because obviously this could have all kinds of consequences. Now, it's also worth saying that there was a history of smoking and infection. So we knew already that smokers are at a higher risk of infection, and smokers are much more inclined to develop respiratory infections for a start. That was known already. And one reason that was shown, I suppose about 20, 30 years ago now, was smoking those chemicals into your lungs, they paralyze things called cilia, C-I-L-I-A. Now, cilia are tiny hairs that line your airways, line your nose and into your lungs, down your windpipe, and they beat the whole time. Little hairs, can you imagine? It's microscopic hairs called cilia, and they beat back and forth all the time. And their job is to bring up stuff. Phlegm, you know, mucus, because we make a lot of mucus in our airways. That mucus is to lubricate the airways, but it's also to kill bacteria. And mucus actually has natural bactericidal properties. It's got natural chemicals in it that kill bacteria. And the cilia keep that sloshing around. And of course, they also make you cough, and you cough stuff out when the cilia beat. And it's kind of an important part of the immune system, because you can imagine inhaling a bacteria into your lungs, the mucus will kill that bacteria, and then the cilia beat and you cough the stuff out. Of course, some bacteria make us cough. That's how cunning they are, so they can spread between us. So coughing can be actually something that the bacteria wants, strange as it may seem, so they can spread from one person to another. Viruses also do this. And again, as we know from the dreaded COVID, that was spread through the breath. But what was shown early on was smoking will paralyze the cilia and they stop beating. And that's one reason why smokers are at a higher risk of respiratory infections. In other words, the smoking is turning off a very important part of the defense system. And that was known already. There was also some evidence that smokers were inclined to be a bit immunosuppressed as well, in that their immune system is a little bit damaged anyway. But Dara's study really has added to this, and it's shown this really interesting specific effect on the adaptive side of the immune system. Both armies get damaged, the innate and the adaptive, but the adaptive takes a lot longer to recover. Now, of course, the next question, and as ever, science never sleeps, you know, and I'm sure Dara is kept awake at night. Well, not quite. He has the next question to answer. You see, the funny, if you're a scientist, it's quite frustrating. You make your discovery, you publish your paper, you're happy for about 5 hours, and you lapse back into, I've got to get the next question. What is the next question? In Dara's case, why is the adaptive part of the immune system, or how rather, is it getting damaged? So there must be something specific going on here with the chemicals in smoke that specifically damage the cells of the adaptive immune system. Now, what we know in great detail are the different cell types in each part of the army, if you will. The adaptive part has T and B cells. Your B cells make the antibodies, so important to neutralize infections. The T cells often make special chemicals to wake up the whole immune system. They're called cytokines. Certain types of T cells actually kill viruses. They're called CD8 T cells. They kill a virally infected cell. Can you imagine now if those types of cells are being damaged? And the question is, what's going on? We think it could be what's called epigenetics, which means the precursors of these cells, which are in your bone marrow, by the way, are somehow being damaged by the smoke, and they can't develop properly. They can't turn into the fully mature cell. It's almost like as if the smoke is holding these T and B cells in an immature state, like, I suppose, like little babies in a way, and they're not growing into full adults to go and fight in the war, you know? And that's one possibility, and I guess Dara would be looking at that now as we speak to try and understand what's going on here. And epigenetics means you're affecting the volume control on the genes in those cells, and you're ramping down the volume control. The gene itself isn't changing, but the level of expression, of how loud they shout, if you will, to say, go away, you nasty germ, that's being turned down possibly by the smoke, and that's something that I'm sure Dara is considering. Very hard to get at that, by the way, but sort of something that he's trying to figure out. Now, why is this important? Well, first of all, bottom line, stop smoking. It's stupid, but we all know that anyway, for all the other stuff that's going on. But this gives you yet another reason to quit, because this is the thing you're doing that is damaging your immune system. What would that damage mean? Increased risk of infection, and that's the first thing. Nobody wants to be at risk of infection, especially following the pandemic. That's one reason. But the second is, and this is probably more important, I think, because we knew already that smoking had that risk. The second thing is, smokers, even after they quit, are at higher risk of developing certain immune diseases. Now, it's mainly lung diseases, one's called COPD, for instance, and even if you stop smoking, you're still at higher risk for years of developing that, but also rheumatoid arthritis, as I mentioned earlier. So certain autoimmune diseases, you're at higher risk of developing them if you quit smoking, right? And it probably is because that part of the immune system, the adaptive, is now off kilter. And that somehow then is provoking an autoimmune response. Now, why that is, we don't know. It's not simply immunosuppression, because this is the immune system dysregulated in overdrive. So again, it may give us insights into autoimmune diseases as to what's going on there. But remember, this could be an explanation or part of it for why, if you smoke, you're at higher risk of immune diseases later in life. Now, it's never too late, and Dara makes this point. Quit it as soon as you can, because at least the immune system has a chance then to recover. And even though it does seem to take a while to recover, there's still a chance. And then the other thing he says, I've noticed in one of his interviews, just decrease the amount of smoke. If you can't quit, smoke less, because there was a dose-dependent effect here. The heavier the smoker, the worse this was. So cutting down a little bit will help you. You know, it'll help, I suppose, restore things a bit more or be less damaging. So whatever way you look at it, it's good to quit or to cut down. And this is yet another reason to stop smoking. The reason being that if you smoke, you're damaging your immune system, which can't be a good thing. So, as ever, thanks for listening. Hope you found that interesting. And of course, my podcast is a News Talk production, and it's available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.